Thank you for listening to the WHO Radio Podcast. This is the second podcast of 2016, episode number one. In this episode, we will look at the leading cause of death worldwide, cardiovascular diseases, how to prevent them. Cardiovascular diseases are the number one cause of death globally. More people die annually from cardiovascular diseases than any other form of diseases. An estimated 17.5 million people died from CVDs in 2012, representing 31% of all global deaths. Of these deaths, an estimated 7.4 million were due to coronary heart disease and 6 million were due to stroke. We welcome in our studio a WHO expert on CVDs, Raquel Diaz-Munoz.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. Although CVDs are the main cause of mortality, knowing that we are exposed to these conditions is not a fatality. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Most cardiovascular diseases can be prevented by addressing behavioral risk factors such as tobacco use, unhealthy diet and obesity, physical inactivity, and harmful use of alcohol using population-wide strategies. People with cardiovascular disease or who are at high cardiovascular risk need early detection and management using counseling and medicines as appropriate.
All right, and it would be interesting to know what are exactly cardiovascular diseases.
Cardiovascular diseases are a group of disorders of the heart and the blood vessel, and they include heart diseases of different kinds, cerebrovascular disease, peripheral arterial disease, deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism,
which is the clots and leg veins, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. Is that correct?
All right. And what are the most common cardiovascular diseases?
Of course, heart attack and stroke. They are usually acute events and are mainly caused by a blockage that prevents blood from flowing to the heart or brain. The most common reason for this is a build-up of fatty deposits deposit on the inner walls of the blood vessel that supply the heart or brain. Strokes can also be caused by bleeding from a blood vessel in the brain or from blood clots. The cause of heart attack and stroke are usually the presence of a combination of risk factors, such as tobacco use, unhealthy diet and obesity, physical inactivity and harmful use of alcohol, hypertension, diabetes, and hyperlipidemia.
All right, I propose to mark a pause here so that our listeners will think about all these things and they will increase their awareness of all these risk factors. All right, so let's talk about a condition despite being very common, people have very little knowledge about: stroke.
Yes, Natalia, that is the reason why it's very important to spread this information. Here are the most frequently questions. What is the stroke? Stroke is a disease that affects the arteries leading to and within the brain. It is the number 5 cause of death and leading cause of disability in the United States. A stroke occurs when a blood vessel that carries oxygen and nutrients to the brain is either blocked by a clot or burst. When that happens, part of the brain cannot get the blood and oxygen it needs, so it and brain cells die. Stroke can be caused either by a clot obstructing the flow of blood to the brain, called an ischemic stroke, or by a blood vessel rupturing and preventing blood flow to the brain, called an hemorrhagic stroke. Nearly 800,000 people in the United States have a stroke every year, with about 3 in 4 being first-time strokes. That's one in every 20 deaths. Someone in the United States have a stroke every 40 seconds. Every 4 minutes someone dies of a stroke. Stroke is a leading cause of long-term disability and the leading preventable cause of disability. More women than men have a stroke each year, in part because women live longer. What are the effects of a stroke?
Well, the brain is an extremely complex organ that controls various body functions. If a stroke occurs and blood flow can't reach the region that controls a particular body function, that part of the body won't work as it should. If the stroke occurs toward the back of the brain, for instance, it's likely that some disability involving vision will result. The effects of a stroke depend primarily on the location of the obstruction and the extent of brain tissue affected.
However, because one side of the brain controls the opposite side of the body, a stroke affecting one side will result in neurological complication on the side of the body it affects. For example, if the stroke occurs in the brain's right side, the left side of the body and the left side of the face will be affected, which could produce any or all of the following: paralyzed on the left side of the body, vision problems, inquisitive behavioral style, or memory loss. If the stroke occurs in the left side of the brain, the right side of the body will be affected, producing some or all of the following: paralyzed on the right side of the body, language problems, cautious behavioral style, or memory loss too. When a stroke occurs in the brain stem, depending on the severity of the injury, it can affect both sides of the body and may leave someone in a locked-in state. When a locked-in state occurs, the patient is generally unable to speak or achieve any movement below the neck. There are stroke risk factors that can be changed, treated, or controlled, like high blood pressure, cigarette smoking, diabetes, high blood cholesterol, poor diet, physical inactivity and obesity, carotid or other artery disease, atrial fibrillation, and other heart disease. On the other hand, there are less well-documented risk factors, like geographic location, socioeconomic factors, alcohol abuse, or drug abuse. An interesting fact is that the stroke are more common in the southeastern United States than in other areas. These are the so-called stroke belt states. And what about risk factors that cannot be changed? Age, family history, sex or gender, and transient ischemic attacks or heart attack. The good news is that 80% of all strokes are preventable. It starts with managing key risk factors, including high blood pressure, cigarette smoking, atrial fibrillation, and physical inactivity. More than a half of all strokes are caused by uncontrolled hypertension or high blood pressure, making it the most important risk factor to control. Finally, what can we do when a stroke occurs? This is the conclusion. If you are having a stroke, it's critical that you get medical attention right away. Immediate treatment may minimize the long-term effects of a stroke or prevent death. What are the warning symptoms? FAST, F-A-S-T, is an easy way to remember the 7 signs of a stroke. If you see at least one of these symptoms that I'm going to explain you need to call 911 for help right away.
like number one, face dropping. Does one side of the face drop or is it numb? Ask the person to smile. Is the person's smile uneven? Number two, arm weakness. Is one arm weak or numb? Ask the person to raise both arms. Does one arm drip downward? Number three, speech difficulty. Is the speech slurred? Is the person unable to speak or hard to understand? Ask the person to repeat a simple sentence like, the sky is blue. Is the sentence repeated correctly? And number four, time to call 911. If someone shows any of these symptoms, even if the symptoms go away, call 911 and get the person to the hospital immediately. Check the time so you will know when the first symptoms appeared. Take these simple steps to help avoid the stroke. Number one, prevent or control high blood pressure. This is the number one risk factor for a stroke. Know your numbers and take a step to control your blood pressure for a healthy brain. Number two, be physically active. It's time to get your heart pumping, helping supply oxygen and blood flow to the brain with exercise. Walk, run, dance, even rake leaves. Activities throughout the day can make a big difference. Number three, control blood sugar. Left untreated, diabetes can cause a number of health complications. It's important to get your blood sugar tested and under control. Number four, eat healthy. Guess what? The same diet for a healthy heart applies to a healthy brain. Foods like fruits, vegetables, fish, and whole grains can lower your risk for a stroke and heart disease. Give your brain the nutrients it needs to stay healthy. Number five, lose weight. A healthy weight and body mass index can lead to health benefits like better regulation of your blood pressure. Number six, manage cholesterol. A healthy brain requires normal blood flow and oxygen, which may be impacted by high cholesterol. Number seven, get quality sleep. Ongoing sleep deficiency is linked to an increased risk of heart disease, kidney disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and a stroke. Be sure to get a good 7 or 8 hours of sack time. And finally, number eight, stop smoking. Smoking is a leading risk factor for a stroke and slow brain function. Well, so far this is the most relevant information about the stroke. Thank you very much for inviting me, and remember, don't take your brain health for granted.
Absolutely, Dr. Diaz-Munoz, thank you. This is a very important information, and you couldn't have explained it better. So now let's talk about heart attack. It's a very frightening experience. What happens is that your heart muscle needs oxygen to survive. A heart attack occurs when the blood flow that brings oxygen to the heart muscle is severely reduced or cut off completely. And this happens because coronary arteries that supply the heart muscle with blood flow can slowly become narrow from a buildup of fat, cholesterol, or other substances that together are called plaque. This is a slow process, and it is known as atherosclerosis. We will talk about this later. So when a plaque in the heart artery breaks, a blood clot forms around the plaque. This blood clot can block the blood flow through the heart muscle. When the heart muscle is starved for oxygen and the nutrients, it is called ischemia. And when damage or death of part of the heart muscle occurs as a result of ischemia, it is called a heart attack or myocardial infarction. About every 43 seconds, someone in the United States has a myocardial infarction. It is important to recognize the symptoms of a heart attack, and Dr. Natalia Karimova, a cardiologist from NYU Medical Center, is confident recognizing heart attack symptoms can lower the death rate by up to 70%. Some heart attacks are sudden and intense. The movie Heart Attacks, where no one doubts that is happening, but most heart attacks are slowly with mild pain or discomfort. What happens is often people affected are unsure that what's wrong and wait too long before getting help. So if you experience it, or if you see somebody with a heart attack, immediately call 911, your emergency response number, so as an ambulance can send it for you. As with men, women's most common heart attack symptoms is chest pain or discomfort. But women are somewhat more likely than men to experience some of the other common symptoms, particularly shortness of breath, nausea, vomiting, and back or joint pain. And always remember this, even if you're not sure it's a heart attack, have it checked out. Tell a doctor about your symptoms. Minutes matter. Fast action can save lives, maybe your own. Remember, always call 911 or your emergency response number. That was the advice of Dr. Karimova indeed. And we would like to talk about the prevention of another very dangerous condition, peripheral arterial disease. Dr. Ruslan Tasbulatov from the WHO Department of Cardiovascular Diseases Prevention tells our correspondent what should we know about the least common and yet very dangerous condition, peripheral arterial disease.
Hi, Natalia. Hi. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to tell you about PAD, or peripheral arterial disease. So it's a narrowing of the peripheral arteries to the legs, stomach, arms, and head. Mostly commonly in the arteries of the legs. PAD is caused by atherosclerosis that narrows and blocks arteries in various critical regions of the body. The most common symptoms of PAD involving the lower extremities are cramping, pain, or tightness in the leg or hip muscles while walking or climbing stairs. Typically, this pain goes away with rest and returns when you walk again. People with PAD have a high risk of coronary artery disease, heart attack, or stroke. If left it untreated, PAD can lead to gangrene or amputation. For sure, the people has additional risks for PAD. If, for example, if somebody smoke, and you have the high risk for PAD, or if you have diabetes or high blood pressure or high cholesterol, and the risk increases with age. However, we have a good news about that for PAD patients. It's easily diagnosed in a simple, painless way, and everybody can control by leading a healthy lifestyle and following the recommendations of your healthcare professional. And some cases of PAD can be managed with the lifestyle changes and medication. PAD is also and usually caused by atherosclerosis, as I mentioned, in peripheral arteries. Atherosclerosis is a disease in which plaques blood up in the wall of an artery. Plaque is made up of deposits of fats, cholesterol, and other substances plaque formations can grow large enough to significantly hinder the blood's flow through the artery. When a plaque becomes brittle or inflamed, it may rupture, triggering a blood clot to form. A clot may either further narrow the artery or completely block it. If the blockage remains in the peripheral arteries in the legs, it can cause pain, changes in skin color, sores or ulcers, and difficulty walking. Total loss of circulation to the legs and feet can cause gangrene and loss of the limb. PAD has common symptoms, but many people with PAD never have any symptoms at all. Why it does so matter? It matters because disease happens when fatty deposits build up in arteries outside of a heart. Usually the arteries supply fresh oxygen and blood to the arms, legs and feet. Is it dangerous? Yes, PAD is dangerous because these blockages can restrict circulation to the limbs, organs and brain. PAD may be the first warning sign of atherosclerosis, which is chronic fatty deposit build-ups throughout your arteries. The whole circulation system, including your heart and brain, are at risk when arteries are blocked and narrow. Fatty deposits also increase the risk of vascular inflammation and blood clots that can block the blood supply and cause tissue death. PAD is potentially a life-threatening condition that can be managed or even reversed by proper care. I would also to tell you that the certain risk factors for PAD can be controlled. For example, cigarette smoking. So you can stop smoking, because smoking is a major risk for PAD. Smokers may have 4 times the risk of PAD than non-smokers. Diabetes. You can manage your diabetes and blood sugar levels. High blood pressure. For sure you can manage your blood pressure. It's sometimes called the silent killer because it has no symptoms. High blood cholesterol. For instance as well. You can manage your cholesterol level, and high cholesterol contributes to the buildup of plaque in arteries, which can significantly reduce the blood flow. Obesity. You can reduce your weight. People with a body mass index or BMI of 25 or higher are more likely to develop heart diseases and stroke, even if they have no other risk factors. Physical inactivity. You can get moving. Physical activities increases the distance that people with PAD can walk without pain, and also helps decrease the risk of heart attack or stroke. You can choose more than one target to improve. I would let you know about the symptoms and diagnosis of PAD. The most common symptom of peripheral artery disease or PAD is the lower extremities, is the painful muscle cramping in the hips, thighs or calves when walking, climbing stairs or exercising. The pain of PAD often goes away when you stop exercising, although this may take a few minutes. Working muscles need more blood flow. If there is not blood flow blockage due to plaque buildup, the muscles won't get enough blood during exercise to meet the needs. The cramp pain, it's called intermittent claudication. It means when caused by PAD, if the muscles' way of warming the body that it's not receiving enough blood during exercise to meet by increased demand. What might be other symptoms of PAD? It might include leg pain that doesn't go away when you stop exercising, foot or toe wounds that won't heal or heal very slow, gangrene or dead tissue, the marked decrease in the temperature of lower leg or foot, particularly compared to the one leg or to the rest of the body, poor nail growth on the toes or hair growth on the legs, and erectile dysfunction, especially in men with diabetes. How to diagnose PID? Diagnosis begins with physical examination. For sure, your healthcare provider will ask about the symptoms you may be experiencing, and your healthcare provider will check for weak pulses in the legs. How to prevent and what kind of treatment of PID? I want to list just simply. Treatment for PID or peripheral artery disease focuses on reducing symptoms and preventing further progressions of the disease. In most cases, lifestyle changes, exercise and claudication medication are enough to slow the progression or even reveal the symptoms of PID. It means the physical activity, diet, smoking, cessation, medication, managing diabetes and procedures. Thank you so much one more time.
Thank you, Dr. Ruslan, for your telephone intervention. Finally, we are going to speak in person with a very special guest. He is a specialist doctor who works in one of the most important units of pulmonary pathology in the world at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Rustam, specialist in pulmonary diseases. Thank you for inviting me. I'm going to tell you about another problem, less frequent than heart attack or stroke, but not less important. So let's talk about what is pulmonary embolism. Pulmonary embolism, known as PE, is a deep vein thrombosis, clot that breaks free from a vein wall, travels through the lungs, and blocks some or all of the blood supply. Blood clots in the thigh are more likely to break off and travel to the lungs than blood clots in the lower leg or other parts of the body. And blood clots form when something slows or changes the flow of the blood in the veins. These clots can form in or travel to arteries or veins in the brain, heart, kidneys, lungs, and limbs. They can cause heart attack, stroke, and damage to the body's organs or even death. Yeah, it's really serious. Clotting is more likely to happen in people who smoke and take estrogens or birth control pills, or have conditions such as cancer, autoimmune disorders such as lupus and obesity. It's also more likely in people whose blood is thicker than normal because too many blood cells are made by bone marrow. Recent surgeries, most commonly in the hip, knee or pelvis, also can increase risk. Fortunately, a genetic or inherited source of excessive blood clotting is less common. Genetic defects can occur in the proteins needed for clotting and with the substances that delay or dissolve blood clots. And VTE, known as venous thromboembolism classification of pulmonary embolism kind of diseases, is most common in adults 60 and older, but they can occur at any age. Alarming, right? Though it's rare in children, young patients with venous thromboembolism usually have strong predisposing factors such as multiple trauma, leg fractures, or indwelling central venous lines. Alright, what are the symptoms? So PE, or pulmonary embolism, can be fatal and occur when the DVT, deep vein thrombosis, breaks free from a vein wall and blocks some or all of the blood supply to the lungs, causing unexplained shortness of breath, rapid breathing, chest pain, rapid heart rate, lightheadedness or passing out. And let's talk about risk factors. VT can affect men and women of all ages, races, and ethnicities. People most at risk have extended hospital stays, are not moving for a long period of time because of the bad rest or long duration travel, and have had hip, knee, or cancer-related surgeries. And factors include major genetical surgery, maybe major orthopedic surgery, or lower extremity paralysis due to spinal cord injury, or maybe fracture of the pelvis, hip, or lung bones. And I want to give you some additional information about malignant diseases that are related to our topic. So advanced cancer are associated with the high incidence of VTE, especially cancer of the breast, lung, brain, pelvis, rectum, pancreas, and gastrointestinal tract. Chemotherapy also increases risk. And here's one more thing. Pulmonary embolism is the most common preventable cause of death among hospital patients in the United States, and yet VTE is often overlooked as a major public health problem. It's often viewed as a complication of hospitalization for a separate illness or condition. Alright, too much horror in this stuff. Let's talk about treatment. Pulmonary embolism, like I said, when the clot breaks off and travels from the leg up to the lungs. DVT, deep vein thrombosis, and PE, pulmonary embolism, are serious, life-threatening conditions that require immediate medical attention. And early diagnosis and treatment can often lead to recovery, but long-term complications may occur. Treatment typically includes blood thinning medications, obviously, to break up clots and prevent new ones from forming. And here's the question: how can VTE, venous thromboembolism, be prevented? You should know, you should be proactive. Ask for assessment when admitted to hospital. VTEs often are preventable with strategies that stop the development in people that are at risk. Healthcare professionals discern risk by gathering information about a patient's age, medical history, medications, and lifestyle factors. Those at risk may take anti-clotting, blood-thinning medications, or use mechanical devices such as compression stocking and a cuff. Some may also be instructed to move around or do foot leg exercises as soon and as often as possible. And just remember, anyone who is inactive and sits for a long time or smokes is at risk. And a little advice from me, drinking a lot of water, grape juice, having garlic in your everyday meal, as well as olive oil, and decreasing animal fat consumption can help you to prevent any type of VTE diseases. It has been a real pleasure for me to explain you all this stuff. And of course, thank you for your attention and patience.
We know that the lifestyle-related chronic diseases are placing an increasing burden on the health system around the world. Can a small change in behavior such as diet or physical activity really make a difference to individual cardiovascular health?
Certainly, we believe the prevention is the best answer to the problem. 30 minutes of moderate exercise and fruit and vegetables diet can decrease the risk of heart attack by 50%. What we try to do as WHO is to create an environment so that people can make those small changes. Working with governments in drafting health policies is also very important. For example, heavy taxation on cigarettes provide to very effective in decreasing the consumption of tobacco. But it's not the only thing that we can do. Various education campaigns about physical exercise behavior in case of emergency, knowledge of warning signs and symptoms will have a dramatic effect on preventing cardiovascular disease.
You can find more information about this topic at www.who.int. That's all for this podcast. Thank you for listening. The podcasts are available for free at our website www.who.int.